Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
And thanks to the help we get from ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, he will help you if you need to bring in your vehicle to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop for some service. He might give you a little idea of what might be going wrong there. So, and again, we say that, hi, Dan, good morning. Good to see you again.
Good morning.
But
good
that,
to be here.
That does kind of cut to the chase, doesn't it, when the customer comes in and said, I think it's this or this or this, and here's the noise it makes. And Dan said...
Yeah, well, and I've always said it, and it's true. The more information that you give your shop, the better off you're going to be. So yep. Don't try and hold back information thinking it's going to be cheaper, because that's not the way it goes. It's like going to the doctor. It's way quicker. You know, everybody works by the amount of time they spend, and it's way quicker if you give me all the information that you have to share.
Absolutely. So if you do have an issue with your car, truck, or van, call it in or text it in. We've cleared the line, 651-989-9226, or send down a text, 81807. I have to ask you, because was dodging potholes all week this week, like everybody else. And you guys seeing at Lloyd's any of that, the damage done from those things?
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, first of all, I hope we get to quit talking about potholes pretty soon.
True,
been going on long enough. But, yes, sadly, there's... terrible damage to cars, to the vehicles, to tires, to, you know, we had dozens on this week of cars and wheels that got wrecked by significant potholes. And they just sneak up on you. You know, you as long as you're dodging, you're doing fine. But when you're not able to dodge or if they surprise you, then they cause trouble. You know, as time goes by, you learn where they are.
And I bet it's true. If you take
the
usual,
we get trained, and we get, you know, we're way better at it. But and they're starting to get them filled back in now. So I think the peak is past, but it sure has been a significant week of it this week.
Yeah, so a lot of action at Lloyd's there.
A lot of action with wheel damage at Lloyd's. Yeah,
most were repairable. many not?
No, well, most of the tires were destroyed.
Oh.
The tires get, you know, cut in the sidewall. Many of the wheels are repairable. Here's the deal with a wheel. If the pothole hits on the outside of the wheel where the spokes are, the wheel will take that. It'll survive that because it's well supported on the outside. But on the inside of the wheel where they, you know, the there's an inset there.
That's true.
So that
there's a big space.
So they can fit over the brake rotors and the brake calipers and all that. And the inside of the wheel is not supported. And if you hit a pothole with the inside of the wheel, there's a good chance that it's going to do damage to the wheel. Now, depending upon how significant the damage is, if it's bent, those bends can most often be repaired. It takes an overnight. If we take the wheel off today, send it in, have it get repaired. We'll get it back tomorrow, and we're able to do it. And you're able to do it for a reasonable price.
Okay.
You know? Sadly, some of those wheels, while they're beautiful,
like
the wheels on your car, they can be upwards of $1,000.
Big time.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, watch the driving there. We hope they get those fixed up really fast.
Well, just like everything, if we go slow and pay attention.
No, that's true, too.
If you go slow and pay attention, you'll do fine.
All right, let's put you back to work, Dan. There's folks calling in and texting. There's a line open if you have a car care question. Call it in or text it in, 651-989-9226. If the text is easier, 81807. Let's go to Connie, who's calling from St. Paul. Connie, you're on CCO with Dan. Hello, Connie.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for the program.
Sure.
Well, thank you for having this program. It's very knowledgeable, especially for a woman. I have a 2012.
Hey, Connie.
Yes.
You're listening to your radio. Turn the radio off, at least for a while, or down.
Okay.
And that'll help you. It is kind of confusing.
You're listening to your radio. Turn it off.
All right.
Okay.
There you
I'm
go.
Sorry. I have a 2012 Chevy Impala. I am the driver, so my seat, that whatever that switch is, doesn't go up and down anymore. It kind of, I think the motor burned out. Is that a real expensive fix?
Not always. The motors, they're actually underneath the seat are several motors. One that makes it go forwards and backwards. One that makes it tilt. And anyway, there's probably three or four different motors under there to control it. And if you're hearing a noise, the motor might still be okay. But those motors, or the motor drives cables, and sometimes those cables break and get bound up. So it sounds like the motor is not working. But if you're hearing noise, I'm kind of encouraged that maybe the motor is still okay and the cable just needs to be replaced. It seems like a big job to say that you got to take the seat out of the vehicle or at least tip it back, but it's really not. It's usually just four or five bolts that that secure the seat to the floor. And once we get access to it, it can oftentimes be fixed pretty easily.
So that's good news, Kurt.
And you know, the one thing that's really important is to have the seat in the right position. You can't be slouching down. That's not a safe way to drive. So I would sure encourage you to get that in and get it fixed.
You ever find things stuck in the tracks?
Often.
Do you?
Often. Well, not up and down so much. That wouldn't.
Right.
Usually not. But the forward and backwards, we'll see a quarter is wedged into the wheel and it just won't roll.
All right, Connie, get her fixed. Not a big deal. Thanks for calling. And Tim is calling, I believe, from Wilmer this morning. Tim, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you again, too, for your show. Appreciate it. Listen to it every week.
Thank you. Great.
Dan, I'm calling. I've got a 2012 Prius, a Toyota Prius, and I was just curious if you'd had any issue like I have. Just noticed the last couple of days that when I turn it on, the electric motor, you know, the electric system starts up. Then I back out of the garage and I get this high-pitched, scratchy, screechy, whistly sound, which is a new sound. And really never had any problems with it. Battery seems to be working okay, you know, stays charged and everything. And it seems like it's only when I go in reverse. I thought first it was the brake pads because I haven't changed brakes on it or pads, but it seems like it comes from the electrical system.
Yeah, no, that is not ringing a bell with me, but what I would encourage you to do is if it does it all day long when it's in reverse, or is it just first thing in the morning?
After I shut the car down and then start it up again and then reverse, it'll happen anytime during the day.
Yeah. So that's what I would recommend is, you know, bring it into your shop and just oftentimes a professional ear will say, oh, I know exactly what that is, or it's no big deal, or it's a real easy fix. So to answer your question, no, that's not ringing a bell with me. I have not heard that or heard complaint of that. But bring it into your shop and see what they say. Or oftentimes an internet search with some sort of short description will give you some information on, you know, there's lots of these chat lines for every single vehicle you can imagine on Earth now.
Yeah.
And people are really good about posting that sort of stuff on there to share their experience. And we actually find it pretty helpful. So
good.
You might want to try that too and see what you come up with.
All right, Tim, thanks for the call. Stand by, Mary. You're going to be next after this quick break on CCO's Car Care Show. Dan Burns is with us, of course, from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with our friend Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, who has been helping us out, helping you out for about 25 years or so here on CCO. Where do we do? Where do we find Lloyd's, by the way?
Well, we are in St. Paul. We are at 982 Grand, which is right between Lexington and Victoria, where they're getting all the potholes fixed up and keeping us in shape. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give Jim a call. He'll be there this morning at 651-228-1314. 1-6.
Excellent. We'll get you Dan's number before he leaves us today, too. We have callers. We have texters. Keep in mind that Dan will be here till just about 7:45 when Jack Farrell steps in. So don't wait if you have a car care question. Call it in or text it in. Mary, we promised, in Wyoming, Minnesota, is waiting there. Mary, what is your question for Dan, please?
Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I have a 2014 Silverado, and ever since we got it used, it was has the check engine oil light come on, or just the the check engine light come on. So we brought it in, and we've been dealing with it for over a year. First, they changed the oil, and then that didn't work. So then they changed the oil, and they flushed it with a chemical to get it clean. That didn't work. Then they said the manufacturer said to change to a different oil filter, and we tried that. And then last ditch, we tried replacing the oil pump. And then we noticed that oil was leaking on the floor of the garage, and now the check engine light went on again.
Uh-oh.
Well, obviously, the first thing you need to do is take it back and find out what's going on with that oil leak. That's unacceptable. And I think that the whoever you're dealing with is checking the manufacturer's recommendations on what's going on with that on a newer vehicle and what would be causing that. And I think that's the right route to be going down. But to start with, you should go find out what that oil leak is about, because that certainly needs to be solved.
Yeah.
And is there any reason why the check engine light keeps coming on? We're working with the dealer.
Yeah, I don't understand what the check engine light has to do with the oil. It must be oil pressure related, I would guess, if they're changing the oil pump and trying different filters and so forth. So I don't know if the car what the code is that they're retrieving, but it must be oil pressure related. So I think there's an answer. And if at this particular dealership you're not finding success, maybe you want to try another one or get another opinion, or like I told the last caller, do some research on the internet and see if you can't find somebody with a similar problem that has come up with a solution. And we have lots of those different chat lines that we work with. One's called Identifix, and it's technicians that have struggled with a problem, and when they finally get it fixed up, they're you know, kind enough to share that information with everyone else, so somebody else doesn't have to struggle so long with it. So,
yeah, Mary brings it back to the last place,
right?
And or checks, gets another opinion,
right?
I'd like to hear back from Mary.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. So Mary, when you get it taken care of, we hope you do soon. Call us back and let us know what they found out. And good luck with that. That's got to be frustrating.
Yeah, that is frustrating. You buy a new car and you think it's going to be perfect.
Yeah.
And sometimes you buy trouble.
Let us know, Mary. And thanks. John in Minnetonka, I believe, has been waiting there to ask you a question. John, you are on CCO.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning. I have a 2003 Chevy Express. It's got the 6-liter engine. Been having an issue with the starter. Doesn't do it every time, but off and on, when you go to start it, as it's turning over, you'll hear this kind of click, click, click as it's starting. And then, like the old cars used to do, if you held it too long, you would definitely know you'd hear that grinding. And now this one has the extended start. So as you're turning it over, you hear the click, 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 and then you hear a little bit of that,
Like it's staying engaged too long.
Yeah, like it spun the starter a little bit too long.
Yeah. Well, that's controlled by the computer, of course. But the computer's actually controlling a relay. It goes through a relay, and probably that relay is underneath the hood. And if you open up the box and look, the first thing that I would try here is if you open up that book the cover on the inside of the cover, oftentimes those relays are identified. Find the starter relay, and when you do, if you look around in that box, you're probably going to find another relay that's exactly the same. And if you do, switch them and see if that makes a difference. We actually do that often. And if that makes a big difference, then you know that sometimes those relays on the contacts, they'll get kind of burned and they'll get a pattern wore into them where they stick. And so makes them slow to react, and then it makes them slow to release also. And so try switching a relay with, you know, hopefully there's another one just like it in the box. Oftentimes there is. And if there is, just switch them and see if that makes a difference. And if so, then go buy that one relay and it'll take care of it for you.
Very good. All right. Good luck, John. Thanks for the call. Dan, we need to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment with more calls and more texts on CCO's Car Care Show. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Dan, I don't want to forget our texters either, because Dan, again, will be here for, well, about another 8 or 9 minutes or so. So if you have a question, call it in, text it in. One came in earlier, Dan, about, let's see if I can find it. It was about an oil, using different oil. It's a 2003 Jeep. A texter says, always use 5W30. Is it okay to change to 020 pure synthetic? I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it would be just fine, but I don't know why you would do that. There's no particular reason to do that unless the manufacturer lists it as an option. And if the manufacturer lists it as an option, then yes, for sure, go ahead and do that.
Okay, but see what the manual says.
Yeah, but if they don't recommend it, I probably wouldn't recommend it either.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. What else? Okay. Are there ways to help prevent carbon buildup in a direct fuel injection engine?
Well, they say premium fuel helps is one thing. That's actually a problem with one of the that's one of the problems is that on a conventional engine, the fuel is sprayed into the intake manifold. So as the fuel runs past the valves, it cleans them and keeps them clean. On a direct injection vehicle, the fuel is injected directly into the combustion chamber. And so the back of the valves don't get washed off, and it can be a problem. And so they make some cleaning processes that we do quite often. Honestly, we actually have to take the intake manifold off the vehicle and physically clean the back of the valve. So that's a good question, and I don't know. I guess I would check with your manufacturer. It could be a Volkswagen that they're talking about. Check with your manufacturer and see if they've come up with a good solution. Is there an additive that you can add, or you know, like I say, we have a process where we'll, from a maintenance standpoint, we can clean the valves with an apparatus that we use that sprays the cleaner right into the intake manifold and cleans the back of the valves that way. But I don't know of anything aftermarket that people are using.
Now, when you or your guys do that particular thing, is how long would something like that stay clean, would you guess?
Well, a long time.
It would?
Yes, you know.
For as long as it took to build up.
Yeah, it would last that. Once you clean it,
yeah,
it lasts that long again. So,
okay.
And I don't know if driving habits make a difference. That's one thing that might make a difference, but it's an issue. And I'm not sure. I mean, we can fix it, no question about that. We've done that many, many times. But as far as prevention, I'm not sure if there's a great answer yet.
We began the show talking about potholes, and a texter said, here's a tip for pothole avoidance. Increase the following distance so you have more time to see and react.
That's a really good idea.
It really is.
That is a really good idea. And
pay attention. A good idea anyway.
And watch the vehicle in front of you also. If they're, you know, bouncing through the potholes and you see the passengers all getting shaken around, then know something's coming up and slow down a little bit.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Remember Mary's call about the check engine light and the oil issue with her vehicle, and a texter sent this message. Denny, I had the same problem as Mary with my check engine light. The oil sensors did not like regular oil. I had to go to full synthetic, and that solved the problem.
Yeah.
I wonder.
And, yeah, I wonder about that. Because I would think that the, you know, on a 14.
It was a 2014, yeah, a newer vehicle.
It's asking for synthetic oil anyway, exosoil. And so that's a great answer. If it's that simple, if you're not using synthetic, yes, you certainly should be. And the sensors obviously is what's turning on the check engine light. So I guess that's the next thing to think is, are those sensors calibrated correctly? Or oftentimes with the computer system, there's an update. There's an update, software update that we can download and install in your car. And oftentimes what it does is open up the parameters a little bit if everything mechanically is fine with the engine.
Let's go back to the phones before we run out of time. I believe Rick is calling from Buffalo. Rick, good morning. You're on CCO.
Yeah, I was calling. I've got a 2005 Cadillac Seville that's got the automatic air pressure sensors that tell you what the pressure is on each tire. And after they rotated the tires, it says system needs attention, and they said it needed to be totally replaced. Is that something that's pretty spendy, or is that something that can be done relatively affordable?
Yeah, if all you had was the tires rotated, I don't know why the system would need to be replaced. That's my first question. After you have the tires rotated, it would be very common that the system needs to be reprogrammed. And no, that is not very expensive. That's actually very inexpensive to have done. What you have to do is you put the vehicle into a learn mode so that it's willing to accept the information, and then we have a little tool that we walk around the vehicle with and signal each of the four wheels in a particular order, and in doing so, the car is able to locate which wheel is in which position on the car, and that's how you get correct information as to which tire is low if it goes low. So I think that must be what they're talking about. And to answer your question, no, it's not expensive to have that reprogrammed.
It's not?
No.
Okay. Those sensors, you've told me this before, they're all battery operated, right?
They are. They have small batteries in them, and they communicate with the car.
Oh, so that's amazing.
The batteries do go dead from time to time.
Okay.
Although remarkably, not very often. They last a long time.
How about that? Thank you, Rick. Good luck with that. Texter says this, a 2012 Hyundai Sonata, 160,000 miles, cuts out when giving gas, won't go above 1,700 RPM, they say while in parking, maybe while in park, coming up with a code P1326 and a Bosch meter. Whatever code 1326.
Yeah, I don't have that in front of me. I'm sorry. I can't identify that. The vehicle not going over 1,700 RPMs in park is probably normal. The computer won't let you do that.
Interesting.
Won't let you self-destruct the engine. So that could be, although that's a little low, but that could be normal. I wouldn't worry about that too much. But if you find out what that code is, or, you know, I could find out when I have the information in front of me.
Sure.
That's where we get direction on what might be wrong and where we should go with the repair, or at least with the diagnosis on it.
Well, I know where you should go if you need some help, some repair, and that's to Lloyd's Automotive.
That's
how
a great
do we
idea.
Find you guys? I know where it is. In fact, I'll probably see you this coming week.
Oh, that sounds good. Find us on the web is a great place to start. Lloydsautomotive.net, LLOIDS, Lloydsautomotive.net. There's some great pictures as to what our building looks like and so forth, so you'll be able to find us when you get there. And when you get to 982 Grand Avenue, which is right in the heart of Grand Avenue in St. Paul, or give us a call. It's 651-228-1316.
And I'll see you this week.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks, Dan.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.